بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Also during the Islamic Jalsa we discussed the five prime branches of Deen, which is Aqaid, Ibadat, Mu'amalat, Mu'ashara and Akhlaq. We will discuss during this session the Aqaid. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. O people of Iman, enter fully into the Deen of Islam. From the Quran and the Hadith we learn that the most valuable treasure is Iman, and the greatest calamity is kufr and disbelief. Everlasting success is the result of Iman, while everlasting loss is the consequence of kufr, disbelief. Thus the greatest and most imperative obligation on man is to correct his beliefs and to cleanse himself of wrong ideologies. He should adorn himself with good actions and try to earn Allah's pleasure, which is in fact the prime object of life, of coming into this world. One has to understand what the beliefs of Ahl-Sunnah wa Jama'ah are. Their beliefs are those which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught to the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. And all of them remain steadfast on these beliefs without any difference. Later on, people introduced new beliefs and divided into many factions and groups. Nevertheless, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah remained staunch on the beliefs of the Sahaba and did not devise their own belief structure. These are the same beliefs found in the Quran and Ahadith. These basic beliefs are, number one, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This entails in believing in the existence of Allah as well as He, and being unique in His being, qualities and actions. He has no partner. He is the creator, sustainer and nourisher of everything. Only Allah is worthy of worship. To worship anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is severe rebellion, which is referred to as shirk. Number two, belief in the angels. Allah ta'ala has created a certain creation from light. They are concealed from our gazes. They are known as angels. We have not been informed whether they are masculine or feminine. They neither eat nor drink. They are free from urinating and defecating. They have been entrusted with many duties. They never do any action contrary to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are constantly in the worship of Allah in various forms and never wearing of worship. Number three, believe in the divine books. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent many divine scriptures and booklets from the heavens via Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to the messengers, so that they could convey to their people the divine commands. Four of these books are famous. The Torah, which was revealed to Musa alayhi salam, the Zabur, which was revealed to Dawud alayhi salam, the Injil, which was revealed to Isa alayhi salam. All these scriptures were revealed for a specified time. The Quran was revealed to our messenger, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Quran bears testimony that these books were the true revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that they were changed by people. It is necessary to believe in the truthfulness of all the divine books in their original form and not in the altered form they are presently in. The Quran is the final scripture. It has cancelled and abrogated the other divine books. No new scripture will be revealed. It is the best of all heavenly scriptures and a miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The rulings of the Quran will remain till the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala has promised to preserve the Quran Majeed, which entails its words and meanings. No additions, subtractions or changes can appear in it. Number four, believe in the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are the pure and chaste servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide his servants, so that the creation be brought closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and onto the straight path, and they be saved from deviation. They were human beings and possessed all human qualities. They possessed the greatest knowledge in their times and amongst their people. They were sinless. The final and most honorable of all messengers was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the messenger to all man and jinn till the day of Qiyamah. His message is general and for the entire universe. After his coming, all other divinely revealed religions and missions of the past messengers are cancelled. It is obligatory to act in accordance with the Sharia, the code of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salvation in the year after is based on accepting the Risala, the messenger of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number 5, believe in the last day. A time will come when the whole world will be destroyed. This is called Qiyam. Number 6, to believe in Taqdeer, predestination. Believe in Qadr means to believe that whatever happens or will happen, good or bad, is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and happens by His command and will. Believe in the year after. This means that one must believe in the life of the grave, reckoning on the day of Qiyamah, and then enter into Jannah or Jahannam. Besides these beliefs, one should possess love and entertain good thoughts regarding everyone of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To think or talk evil of them is open transgression of the law of the Quran. There is fear of kufr regarding such a person. Mocking any part of Islam, denying those aspects known generally by all Muslims, and having doubt in the basic beliefs of Islam, renders a person out of the fold of Islam. It is of utmost importance that a person learns and corrects his beliefs. He should consult the ulama and study authentic literature on this subject. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us live with iman, die with iman, and be resurrected with iman. Inshallah, now we will have the main program in the masjid by Mawlana Musa Qadri Sahib, who is of staff in Darul Uloom. And for the youth, inshallah, there will be a program taking place now, not 2 to 3, but now on my left hand side. And the speakers there will be Mawlana Yusuf Raja Sahib and Mawlana Marwan Qasim.
Alhamdulillah, نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected ulama, elders, brothers in Islam, before starting our talk proper, we'll just mention one sunnah, or actually one amal to do, that is our niyat, correction of our niyat. Before starting any action, a person should correct his intention. Our Hazrat mentioned to us last week that once a person wrote to us, Mawlana Ashrafuddin Thani rahmatullahi alayhi, and they told Hazrat that I want to make it my islah, I want to reform myself, change myself, give me some advice. So Hazrat wrote back to him and he said, you must read 10 of my mawa'iz, 10 or 20 of my kitabs, my bayans which I have written. So anyhow, the person after some while, he wrote back and he said, Hazrat, I didn't get any benefit. I found no change taking place in my life. So Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullahi wrote back to him and said that maybe one thing is that you did not make your intention for your islah, to reform yourself. That is why you had no benefit. Or he says, number 2, perhaps the subject, the books that you read, they had nothing of Islam. You read the wrong books. You read some books which never had to do with Islam and Reformation. Or number 3, maybe your Islam is already done. You are a perfect person. There's nothing wrong with you in your life. There's no need for you to change. So then the person, he said, reread these books again with the correct intention. So then the person wrote back to him after a while. And he said, Alhamdulillah, I found very, very great benefit. Now I change my intention. So may Allah give us the tawfiq and ability. We have a correct intention. If a person's intention is correct, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide the person. Even if the person who is speaking has got nothing in him, he is useless, he hasn't got any qualities. But if a person is sitting with the right intention, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change the heart of that person. As the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi used to give that incident, which our Hazrat also mentions to us many, many times, as the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi used to say, there was one person, his father was a great Shaykh, father passed away, so he had one son. And the son was like a useless, nothing at all. But now he was, he took, it's called the Nasheen, Sajada Nasheen. He just takes the place over, he gets all the money, everything. Everything is made for him. But he knew nothing at all. So anyhow, two people heard about the Sheikh. They had this fikr and concern for the Islam, the Reformation. So anyhow, they came there and they told, and Hazrat was in a bad mood that day. So they told him, Hazrat, we came for our Islam. He said, for your Islam, go and cut the grass. That's your job. So anyhow, they went and they started cutting the grass. Starting, it was one person cutting the grass and doing, making a lot of effort and fikr and concern. Our Shaykh had given us this year. But they had that fikr for the Islam. And after some time, at the time that you have 40 abdals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got a system in the world. So one of them has passed away. So they were making mashwara, who must we make dua and make him to the level of an abdal also. So anyhow, this one person, they made mashwara among themselves. They said, this one person, he's got so much of sincerity, that let us make dua and tawajjuh on him, and we'll give him this high, make dua to Allah ta'ala, we'll give him this high level. So because of that, that person went very, very high. Similarly, another incident is mentioned of these people who made the Islam. The Shaykh was he was a fake. The person was encouraging other people. But anyhow, these people, they did such high levels because of the fikr and concern within themselves. Once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they made dua to Allah ta'ala, they want to see the level they are. And Allah ta'ala showed them a very, very high level. He said, imagine what's the level of our Shaykh. So then they made dua that we want to see what's the level of the Shaykh. And they couldn't see, maybe it's gone too high, you can't see. So they went to the Shaykh and told him, he said, what are you talking? I'm not anywhere high up there. I'm right down. I've got nothing at all within me. So then, because they were true murids, true people, they made dua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised the level of the Shaykh. So don't look at the person who is speaking here. Let us sit with the correct intention. If our intention is correct, inshallah, Allah will change all of our hearts. And maybe through the barakat of a few people, Allah will change my heart also. So anyhow, that's the first thing, is our intention. Walana Shaykh Ali Thami rahmatullah alayhi said, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam had the most amount of fikr and concern for his people, for their hidayat and guidance. But there were some who were stubborn and adamant, I will never change. I don't want to change at all. So no matter how much of fikr and concern they had, those people could not change their hearts. But those people were humble. He said, I am prepared to change. Allah Ta'ala, what he made them. What and what high levels they had got. So if we said with the correct intention, throughout the Islam, Jalsah, whatever bayans are taking place, Allah inshallah, Allah will have, definitely will have effect on our hearts. It will change our hearts and we will get closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the object of coming for these Islai gatherings, these Islai jalsas. Why have we come? And every single person in this world, he wants one thing. He wants success. Every person in this world. Unfortunately, the object, what is success, is defined differently by different people. Some people feel, if I've got a lot of money, I'm successful. And this is the biggest deception in the world. Those who have got so much of money, they are the ones committing suicide. Generally, you won't find a poor person committing suicide. The rich people who are committing suicide. So if money was a means of success, the rich people would never have committed suicide. Some people feel that beauty is success. If I got a beautiful wife, the most beautiful woman I've got, then this is success. I'll be very, very happy in life. But those people are not happy. Why? He's got the most beautiful wife at home, he's running to see another woman. He hasn't got success. Some people feel, if I've got status, I'm the king, the president, the prime minister, I've got some great status in society, I'm a mayor, then I will be a successful person. But we find these people also, they are not happy in their lives. So many security guards around them, they always, their life is in danger, they've got fear of, all the time, they are parashan and worried, they are also not happy. Allah Ta'ala is the creator and sustainer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows fully well where there is success. Ulama have mentioned that success, what does actually success mean? Qad aflaha, falah, and success, what does it mean? They say it means al-fawz, bil-maqsood. What a person wants in this life of his, he is successful, he gets those things. A person who is very, very wealthy, he wants more money, but he is never ever successful. How much more money can he get in life? Eventually, either he will go into the qabr, or that money will be destroyed. Whatever a person is wants in his life, eventually it leaves a person. But those who are successful, those who are people of iman, it is why when they are leaving this world, fustu wa rabbil ka'aba, I am successful by the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever they want in this world, what do they want in this world? An intelligent person is he who wants happiness of the heart. And he wants connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who Allah gives it to? Qad aflaha. Those who are successful people, they get the objectives in life. And what is in this life also is very, very short and temporary. The actual success is when a person leaves this world with kalima. When a person goes in the qabr, and there is no difficulty for a person in the qabr. Then on the day of qiyamah, he stands up, and Allah Ta'ala says, my banda and servant, all are going through difficulty, you come on one side here. You enjoy yourself here, under the shade of my arsh. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, people are going over across the pool sirat, the bridge, into Jannah. That person is running across, he is sprinting across, and he's entering into Jannah first. He doesn't have to go via Jahannam. This is true success. So falahi kamil, true and perfect success is actually in the akhirat. In this world also there is success. And the success is Allah will make the heart of this person happy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whose heart will I make happy? Qad aflaha man tazakka. The person who is 100% successful, he's already successful, Allah says, is a person who has got this concern and fikr for his tazkiyah, for his purification of himself. He has to purify himself. And there are different aspects of our life which we have to correct. The first and most important is our aqidah and our beliefs. But what is my aqidah and my belief? Is my aqidah correct and pure? If a person's aqidah and belief is tainted, a person can lose his iman. Today, the effort of the enemy, in every aspect, they are making a full effort to destroy people's aqidah. Whether it is our sending our children to school, and the iman is being destroyed there. Today, in most schools, in Muslim schools also, in everywhere, the Darwin's theory of evolution is taught. And a teacher who is teaching the Darwin's theory of evolution, he's reading from a school textbook, and you are teaching somebody that, you know what, you have come from a monkey, the world came into existence by a big bang. That person loses his iman or her iman, and the children who are learning that, they also lose their iman. So imagine a person is going, my child is going to school, got a Muslim environment, but the child has got no iman. So this is the first thing, our iman has to be correct, my iman has to be correct, all of our iman has to be correct. And for this, one is to know the basic beliefs, what we have read about now. This is very, very important. And more important, to continue working on our iman. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمِنُوا. O people of iman, believe. You've already got iman. So how are you going to believe? Increase your iman. Don't be happy when you are with my iman. Iman is something, the ulama say, that the Anbiya alayhi muslim's iman is always increasing. And the iman of the angels remains constant, one level. But human beings, their iman increases or decreases. If you make effort on iman, iman will increase. And if you don't make effort on iman, your iman is going to decrease. So it just has to be a continuous effort. So the first and most important thing is we have to purify our aqidah and our belief. If our aqidah is tainted with incorrect belief, incorrect yaqeen, then this is very, very great harm for a person. Our Hazrat yesterday in great detail mentioned about our aqidah and our beliefs. The second, where Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. A person who purifies himself. There are different aspects of purification of ourselves. Just we just mention a few basically, and we can see to ourselves, this is myself, from my own Islam, from my own reformation, how far are we, how much can we correct ourselves, and what benefits we will get when we make our Islam. So one, which was Dada Shaykh, Hazrat Mawlana Shaykh Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, he went throughout the world, and he explained that this is the sickness and the bimari of the time, that is the gaze. At-tazakki al-farj wal-ayn. It is purification of a person's eyes and a person's private parts. Today, like 99%, or we can say 100% of people are involved in the fitnah of the woman. They are getting involved in whatever way. Some people contact with them, very, very close contact with them. Some to a certain extent, some with the eyes, some with the heart and the thoughts. But in this year, a person has to purify himself. And there are great, great benefits when a person will start purifying his eyes. A person will start purifying his private parts. Today, we're finding so many problems in marriages. People are not happy at all. And one of the main reasons is we are not looking after our gazes. And Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believers they must lower their gazes. And وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. You want to protect your private parts, you will have to lower your gazes. A person might think that this is very, very difficult. But remember Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ. You want success, you want true enjoyment in this world, you will have to make a bit of sacrifice. A person goes to the doctor. The doctor gives him a tablet, a medicine. It's a very, very bitter medicine. He takes it for that few minutes. The medicine goes down. He finds it very, very bitter. In the past, people used to have this castor oil. And how they used to suffer with this one spoon of castor oil. And then run into the toilet and spitting it out. But anyhow, for a short while, you go through some difficulty. But then it goes in your body, cleanses out your whole body. So a bit of sacrifice, but then enjoyment. On the other hand, the person is having, he's a sugar diabetes patient. And now he sees that ice cream. He says, I have to have this ice cream. And now he eats the ice cream. And now the whole night he's not sleeping. His sugar is gone. Levels are gone up. And he's going now. They have to take him to hospital. And so many problems. Just because a little bit of enjoyment. So thori derke lizzat hamesha fizillat. Little bit of while a person is getting enjoyment. And then he's suffering forever after that. But a person who purifies his eyes. This is one great mujahada and sacrifice. And this is why we have come to this. To see what weaknesses we have got within ourselves. A person will find himself so much of enjoyment in this world Allah will give him. One person wrote to Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullahi, and he says, Hazrat, my daughter-in-law, she passed away, 17-year-old girl, and she had this quality, she had that quality, she was such a pious girl, she was so much of khidmat she made, she made a lot of praises of her. So Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullahi wrote back, he says that, you better make tawbah and istighfar, it seems the connection with your daughter-in-law wasn't correct, that you had the extra liking for her, inclination towards her. The way you were looking and talking and thinking about her is not very, very good. Make tawbah and istighfar. So in the gathering, there was two ulama. So those ulama said, that Hazrat, I think you are a bit hard in this masala. You are exceeding now. It's a bit too hard you have gone here. Because maybe this person, his daughter-in-law, was very, very good to him. And she had a lot of khidmat she made of him. That's why he's missing her. So then Mullah Shawali Tami rahmatullahi wa ta'ala said with those two, and he explained to them that you are murid, you are under the sheikh, you have to listen to what the sheikh tells you. You can't tell the sheikh what to do. So this is not a classroom where you can make your objections, etc. And he said, I've got experience. And a person who is doing the khidmat, this khidmat of Islam, reformation, Allah inspires him. He's got experiences. I've got experience and I know how the person thinks and the weaknesses of the heart, the sicknesses of the heart. You yourself can't realize it. And anyhow, the person eventually wrote back to Hazrat Ali rahmatullahi. And he said, Hazrat, I had the sickness within myself. I think the intonation for my daughter-in-law was not in the correct way. I had the sickness. Anyhow, Hazrat Ali rahmatullahi mentioned that. And then eventually he told us ulama, he explained in great detail. And then he told us ulama that you see, when it comes to women, you never ever trust your nafs. He said, I don't trust my own nafs also. He said, ladies write to me sometimes. Now imagine he's the Hakim ul-Ummat of the time. He said, ladies write to me. Not even seeing him, not talking to him, not teaching, nothing like that. He said, they write letters to me. And when I write a letter to a woman and I write a letter to a man, I find a difference in my nafs. I can feel there's a difference. He said, but I don't cover up for my faults. I admit I've got weaknesses within myself. So when I'm writing the letter, I make a lot of tawbah and istighfar. That, ya Allah, it mustn't be for my nafs which I'm doing this action. And then he said that, you know what, no matter what age you can reach, never ever trust your nafs. He said, some of the women came to ask me, there is one person here, he's 100 years old. And he's a very, very old person, 100 or whatever. And he's a very pious person, so we want to go meet him. We don't want to make parda from him. He said, okay. Hazrat Ali rahmatullah said, I told those ladies, the ladies of the household, that see, I'm not giving you a fatwa, but let me tell you my story. I went to visit the Buzruk last week, and then he called his khadims and he told them, see, come here, I need water to have after we have a faraz ghusl. So he says, now, you people can judge for yourself whether this man, such an old man, but he's old but he's not cold. So anyhow, then the woman said, no, we understand, you still have to make parda for him. So no matter what level a person can reach, but that nafs, the desires are there for a person, for a woman. So every one of us has to be very, very careful about this here. How nafs and shaitan deceives a person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, when a woman emerges from a house, then shaitan beautifies her appearance, beautifies her form. Now when a person looks at her, he gets enamored by her, and he wants her, and he runs after her. He's a married person also. And now he's thinking about that woman, he's fantasizing about that person. But there's no benefit at all. Whereas Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the other hand, has mentioned, that a person, an-nazru, sahmu min tihami iblis masmuma. The gaze is one of the poisonous arrows, from amongst the arrows of shaitan, one very, very poisonous arrow. Ulama mentioned, that one is an arrow a person has got. You take the arrow and you fire it at somebody. It hits the arm of that person. It's very, very painful. But eventually what they do, they pull that arrow out, and they cure the arm, they put some medication there. But if sometimes they take an arrow, and then they put poison in front of the arrow, and then they point it to a person and shoot that person. Even if it hits his arm. But the poison goes through the whole body of a person. And it kills that person. It destroys the person. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say that the nazar, the gaze, is an arrow of shaitan. He said it's a poisonous arrow of shaitan. That is when that thing hits a person's heart, or it hits a person, his eyes, it goes through the whole body of a person. And the whole body of that person is affected. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ تَرَكَهَا مَخَافَتِي. If you leave it out for my fear, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is watching me, or out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how can he be such a low thing, low person, if my ustad is standing next to me? How can I never ever look at a woman? I'm walking with my ustad, and now a beautiful woman is walking in front. And then quickly I'll take out a tasbih also, I'll act like a big wuzum that day, and my sheikh is in front of me, I must act like a pious person, because he's standing by me. Or if your wife is standing with you, and you now have to look around, you know you're in problems. Next 2 weeks, no supper. So now that person will show he's a very, very pious person. But now when his person is walking, and for Allah's pleasure, Allah is watching me. Nobody else is watching me, but Allah is watching me. And then he lowers his gaze. أَبْتَلْتُهُ إِيمَانًا. Allah Ta'ala says, I will change it into iman. يَجِدُ حَلَاوَتَهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. He will actually experience that halawat in his heart. Now Hazrat explained to us that heart similarly, like how the blood flows through the whole body from the heart. Similarly, that heart, the halawat of iman will come there. It will flow throughout the body of a person. The person will get that enjoyment. Or Hazrat has mentioned to us that many, many people complain, I don't get enjoyment in my married life. Now I look at my wife, what an old Tanya I got now, what an old lady she is. She's not attractive to me at all. The main reason is that we are looking around. And when a person is looking around, now obviously he's not going to get enjoyment in his house. And then Hazrat gives a beautiful example. There was one person, he went to his business, and now he goes to his business, he's a poor person. So he takes dal roti, very, very simple food. He's a poor person, no food at all he got. that he goes there, that he's a honor, he's got no respect, no self-respect. So he sees his friend eating biryani there. So he tells his friend, you know what, what's the time? He asks him for the time. So then the person tells him the time, say, it's lunchtime. Hey, you got some nice lunch there. He sits down, he has some biryani. Then he goes by his other friend, he sees him having acne. He says, my third friend, having whatever other food. He's eating all chops and biryani and acne and everything is eaten now. Now when the person comes back home, 5 o'clock, he's nice and full. He's eaten to his full. Now his wife comes there, she got dal and roti. She gives it to him. What kind of food is this? He starts fighting with her. Salt is not right. This is how you are. Arguing and fighting and problems in the house. But on the other hand, if a man was an honorable person, his friend brought the food in front of him. He said, no, I'm going to perform salah. I'm going to the musalla. I'd rather stay hungry. My wife never gave me food today. So I go home and enjoy my food with my wife. Now he goes back to his wife. And now he's sitting and eating with her. And that food, he got no salt. She forgot to put the salt. But he doesn't taste it because he's hungry. And he enjoys that food and he's only making shukr and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat says in exact similar manner, every person, like how we have got desire for food, we have got desire for woman. But if a person is going out now, and all those aknis and his biryanis who are dwelled up, all those women who are walking around, they've got all of those attractions about themselves. Now a person is looking at this akni, he's looking at that biryani, he's looking at that one's chops. Then that person now, he's filling himself up now. And now when he comes back home, he's looking at his dad. Now he's not going to be happy at all with this dal. See, her salt is not right, her face is not right, her contours are not right. Now he's very upset with this woman. But if a person controlled himself, the desire was within himself, he did not look at haram. And now he comes back at the end of the day. Now he looks at his wife. Now how much of enjoyment he will get in his wife. The true love, that enjoyment of Jannat, he will get in this world already. So this is the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّ الْبُدْعَ وَاحِدٌ فَإِنَّ مَعَهَا مِثْلَ الَّذِي مَعَهَا. The objective, the desire, what you want in one woman is exactly the same as your wife. What your wife has got, but exactly what the other woman has got. Don't be deceived at the outward beauties of this world. So many, many people, unfortunately, because we are not looking after our gaze, a person is falling into wrong. Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَى. If you purify your eyes, you will get success. Allah will give you that enjoyment of your married life already. Allah will give you that halawat of iman. Today, many, many people say, I make tilawat of Quran, no enjoyment. I perform my salah, I get no enjoyment. You get that halawat of iman in your heart. And then you will see what enjoyment you will get in Salah. Then you will get the true enjoyment in this world. As our Buzruks mentioned, that the example of it is like a person who is not balig and a person who is balig. The person who is not balig, now he's playing with his marbles, and he's playing with his kite, and he's got a friend, now his friend has become balig. Now his friend has become balig, all the time he's worried about combing his hair, putting his kurta right, and now he's talking about girls. His small friend tells him, brother, what are you worried about girls? We're playing marbles here, we're playing kite, you come and join us. He says, no, my nikah is tomorrow, I'm getting married. Now all the time he's thinking about that girl, or his nikah is performed already, and his friends are calling him. And they say, I don't know what this guy is wasting time, he's going to spend time with a girl. Girls, they don't even know how to play marbles, they don't know how to play kite. I don't know what he's wasting his time. But this person says, no, you don't understand, I'm balig now. So now I've got other enjoyments. Those are small, small things, because he has become physically balig. Similarly, those people who look after their gazes, and Allah gives them the halawat of iman, they become spiritually balig, spiritually mature. So they look at the people of the world, they're involved with women, involved with money, involved with things of this dunya, and they feel sorry for those people. That what are you involved in small, small things? We've got higher things. We are connecting and conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are following the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are getting the enjoyments of Jannat in this world already. That is what the person is looking towards. And he actually feels sorry for those people who are running after the marbles and the kites and the small, small things of this dunya. So this is the effort a person has to make to become spiritually balig, spiritually mature. And one great and very, very easy way, which Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, to get this closeness to Allah Ta'ala, to become spiritually balig, is for a person to break his heart, to break his desires, and especially of this woman. When a person lowers his gaze, Allah will give him the day. Another great benefit which Abu Darda radiallahu anhu says, a person who lowers his gaze, and a beautiful woman is walking in front of him, and he lowers his gaze, every gaze you lower, you will get one pore of Jannat. So imagine now, if you looked at that woman, what you will get? Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, you only get hasrat and sadness. He says, if you look at that woman and she is ugly looking, you say, ah, why did I even look at this woman? And if she's a very, very beautiful woman, you say, ah, I can't even get this woman. So you say, both the times, it's only sadness for a person, you're getting nothing at all. But a person just lowered his gaze, what whore of Jannat is it? And many, many buzruks have mentioned that this is their tajruba and experience. They say, at the time when a person has got the desire to do any haram, and especially in today's time looking at women, you lower your gaze. At that time, they say, whatever dua a person makes, Allah accepts the dua of the person. So what and what duas a person can make? And don't make dua for the small things of this world, make dua for the big things of akhirah.
So now it's so easy. How many du'as readily of ours will be accepted daily? Because we have this examination is coming. Hazrat Shah Maulana Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali came, he went to the union. He told the people, don't be frightened of this examination. He said the certificates of the halawat and enjoyment of Iman is being thrown here. Allah is giving it out wholesale. 100 times a day you lower your gaze, 100 times Allah is giving it to a person. So this is the first kind of tazkiyah which a person has to have this fikr and concern for. If a person can lower his gaze, protect his eyes, what enjoyment Allah is giving him in this dunya already, in the qabr also on the day of Qiyamah. This is one, may Allah give myself tawfiq, speak about it, so may Allah give us the reality. We have to keep reminding ourselves, the environment outside us is against us. But if, what Allah has promised to give his true bandas and servants, a small amount of sacrifices, what Allah won't give a person. And also the ulama say that one great benefit a person will get is itminan al-qalb, happiness of the heart when a person lowers his gaze. They say the example of it is like a person who's got an itch, scratch. And the more a person is scratching himself, for a short while he feels happiness. But then eventually what happens? The itch increases, gets worse and worse, and eventually he can't treat himself. But if this person makes mujahada and sacrifice, he doesn't itch himself, scratch himself, eventually the scratch goes away. Similarly, a person looks, he says, last time I only want to look at this woman. Then the desire comes back in stronger, and then stronger and stronger. And just by looking, a person doesn't get happy thereafter. Then a person wants to go to the next step. Then he wants to go to the next step. And eventually where it leads a person to, as Shah Manul Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, that if a person is standing by an elevator, now we get at the airports, we get these electronic elevators.
Escalators.
So a person just puts his leg on the first floor, on the escalator, right on top he is. And immediately that thing takes him right down. He comes right to the ground floor. Similarly, he says a person looks in the eyes of another woman. He looks at the woman. He looks at the beautiful woman. So he's on the escalator now. And where that will take him? Right into the first floor, to the ground floor. And he says that is actually the katalai. That is actually the sewage pipe. The person is running after the sewage pipe where urine and stool comes out. What a foolish person. Shaitan chose a person, a very, very beautiful. He's a very, very shrewd businessman. He's a very, very beautiful mark of goods. But then eventually where he takes a person. So may Allah protect and save all of us from the evil of our eyes. The person learns that's one of the objects of the Islai gatherings is what weaknesses we have got within ourselves. How can we purify ourselves? Purify our eyes. A person must purify his tongue. One hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يستقيم إيمان عبد حتى يستقيم قلبه. A person's iman cannot be perfect until he doesn't make his heart perfect. Purify his heart, make his heart steadfast. ولا يستقيم قلبه حتى يستقيم لسانه. And a person's heart cannot become perfect, cannot become complete and strong until he doesn't worry about his tongue, until his tongue doesn't become straight. So a person has to make great, great efforts to look after a person's tongue. As Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib Dawan Barakatuh mentions about his chef, Dr. Abdul Hiya Arifi Rahmatullah Ali. This is Kamal, may Allah give me all of us tawfiq. He says that our chef, a couple of times he mentioned it for our own Islam. He said, Alhamdulillah, I'm married now for 40 years. He says, in that 40 years of my life, I want two things. I don't remember any time I ever shouted my wife. He says, never mind shouting my wife. If my wife did something wrong, I can't even remember once that I ever changed my face also. My face changed also. That I showed my annoyance on my face. And he says, the second thing is, it is 100% permissible to ask your wife to do some khidmat for you. He says, but whenever in my life I wanted to do anything, I always did it myself. If I had to get salt, I woke up myself and went to the place to fetch it, and I brought it back. And anything I wanted, dish out food, I would go myself and dish it out. Unless my wife from her own side, she came and she wanted to make khidmat, and I allowed her. But even my own wife, I wouldn't tell her anything. And he says the first thing is many people are looking for karamat. They are looking for a person flying in the air. He says, this is a karamat. For 40 years you live with that one woman. And not one day a person tells her something when he's stuck and he gets upset with her and he shouts her and he's got that control over himself. This is a very, very high level. But this is what we must work towards. Hilm and forbearance. And then Mulana Abdul Haq Magda Sahib, Namul Barakatuh, one day he mentioned, there's Imam Rasulullah Rahmatullah Ali, he's always mentioned the story of Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali. And he says, he's always mentioned the story, but why he used to mention it? So we must take lesson from it. See, Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali, what a great person, great knowledge he had. So one day, one person comes to him, and he knocks at the door of Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali. Imam Sahib used upstairs. So Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali never used to sleep at night. The only time he used to sleep was in the afternoon for a short period for his qeelullah, and Allah had given him that ability. So besides that, the rest of the night he was engaged in ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rest of the day in teaching. So the short while only he used to sleep, this person comes and knocks at the door. So Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi comes out, says, Hazrat, I got a question to ask you. Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi at that time become a bit, he had picked up some weight. So anyhow, Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi comes down the stairs, and it was a bit difficult for him. So he says, what's the question? He says, I forgot the question. I forgot what I was supposed to ask. You make me mad. So anyhow, Imam Walifa Rahmatullah goes back up. After a while, again he comes, and again he knocks. And again Imam Walifa Rahmatullah comes down. And a second time he says, yeah, I forgot the question I wanted to ask you. So again Imam Sahib goes, and nothing on his face, no annoyance at all. And then the third time Imam Walifa Rahmatullah comes down. And he knocks again after a short while. He's disturbing his sleep each time. If somebody disturbs your sleep, how upset you a person becomes. Especially the Qaylullah time, you only got that half an hour. Imam Wanifa Rahmatullah comes down. And then he tells Imam Wanifa Rahmatullah, I got one question. That the stool of a human being, is it sweet or is it sour? Now imagine a person, he disturbed you three times, and then you ask such a stupid question. Is that a masala? Is that a hadith? Is that a ayat of Quran Sharif? So Imam Wanifa Rahmatullah says, no, if the excreta is fresh, then it's sweet. And after some time, then it becomes bitter. So he asked Imam Sahib, so you tasted the excreta? So Imam Wanifa Rahmatullah says, you don't have to find out everything by tasting it. He says, I notice that when the excreta is fresh, when the flies come and they sit on it, so that means it must be sweet, because the flies will go to something sweet. And after it, when the excreta becomes dry, you don't find the flies around it, so that means now it has become bitter, the taste has changed. So then the man said, actually Imam Sahib, I came to ask you for mafi. We were sitting, three or four of us, in Kufa, and we were saying, who is the person who's got the most amount of hilm and forbearance? So then we said, somebody said Imam Wanifa, so we said, let's test him out and see how much forbearance he's got. You definitely pass the imtihan 100%. What forbearance? And a stupid question I asked you, and you still, what the answer you give? So this is the quality a person has to get. From Hadith Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ibtahu rif'ata inda Allah. Seek very, very high ranks in the sight of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So the Sahaba asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how will a person get high ranks in the sight of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that a person who has broken off ties with you, you join ties with that person. Person who has broken off ties with you, you join ties with that person. Tasilu, what exact words? Man kata'aka, tasilu man kata'aka. A person who has broken off ties with you, he's fighting with you, you join ties with that person. And then he says that have hilm and forbearance upon the person who has made jahalat. That actions of jahalat and ignorance and foolish actions he does, we have hilm and forbearance. This is how a person will get very, very high ranks in the sight of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. May Allah give us this quality. So a person to learn how to control a person's tongue. One hadith Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said regarding ghibat, he said, Ya ma'ashara man amana bi lisanihi wa lam yu'min bi qalbihi. Oh, group of people who have got iman with their tongues only, and they haven't got iman, the reality of iman in their heart. La takhtabu al-muslimin. Don't make ghibat of Muslims. It shows if a person is making ghibat, he hasn't got the reality of iman in his heart. Say, do not make ghibat of the Muslims. And he says, do not follow the, wa la tabi' awratahum. Do not run after their faults and their weaknesses. Because if a person runs after and looks for the faults of the believers, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will run after that person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disgrace that person, even if he's hiding in the deepest portion of his house, in the depths of his house he is, Allah will disgrace that person. So a person must learn how not to make ghibat, to control one's tongue. It is mentioned Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu used to meet each other with smiling faces, with happiness of heart. And he says that they used to regard a ghibat as the worst of actions. Speaking ghibat, backbiting about another Muslim person, as the worst of actions. And do you think that this was the adat and the habit of the munafiq and the hypocrites? So may Allah Ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq, we learn how to look after our tongues. As in Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, that alaykum bi zikri Allah, hold firm unto the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fa innahu dawa'un. Because this is a dawa and a medication. And stay very, very far away from speaking about people. Fa'innaha da'un, because this is the bimari, the sickness, which causes harm to a person. The minute we start speaking about people, as our wazir teaches us, you say, you know, this person is very, very good, but that one bad sentence destroys everything about that person, and now you start looking for faults. And my only intention why I'm speaking about him is, I want to make Islah of that person, I want to correct him. But there is no intention of a person's Islah or reformation. May Allah give us a reality where a person learns how to control his tongue. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. You learn how to control your tongue. مَنْ سَمَتَ نَجَى. That person is successful. What and what you will get? A person has controlled his tongue. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a person who's got iman in Allah the day of Qiyamah, فَلْيَكُنْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ. He will only speak words of good, and he will keep quiet. So this is one effort a person has to make. A person has to purify himself from takabbur and pride. A person sees we've got so much of pride within ourselves. A little bit of good, Allah has given a person wealth, a person gets pride because of that. A person has got some qualities and sifat within himself, gets pride because of that. So a person, من تزكى, a person who purifies himself, he is successful. من تكبر من توارع لله رفعه الله. A person who humbled himself for Allah's pleasure, Allah will raise that person. وَمَنْ تَكَبَّرَ وَدَعَهُ اللَّهِ. A person who has got pride within himself, Allah will lower that person. In one hadith, Sultan Rahmatullah mentioned, a person who has got humility, he humbled himself, he regards himself as nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him honorable, Allah will give him such status, even though he regards himself as the lowest of people. On the other hand, a person who has got pride within himself, he regards himself as a very, very great person. What? I am a great person. But the people regard him lower than a pig, lower than a swine also. So this is also another quality a person has to have, this fikr and concern. How can I purify myself from pride, from arrogance within myself? Another quality which we have to remove from ourselves, what this islah is hasad and jealousy. We find one person has got something better, and we've got jealousy for him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Iyaka wal hasad, beware of jealousy, because jealousy will destroy all your amal and actions, like how fire eats up wood. It completely destroys it. A person has got jealousy. Hazrat Ali Rahmatullah Ali says, you see your enemy, some harm has come to your enemy, and you feel that happiness in your heart, hey, shukr, it was good, he deserved it. He said, even though a person is not taken to task, you don't get guna, whatever comes in your heart, and you don't purposely bring it, but the happiness comes in your heart, hey, good, it happened to that person. He says that this year, even though it's not a guna and a sin, but it's against kamal and perfection in the person. A person has to reach such level of kamal and perfection, when his enemy also gets hurt, he feels it in his heart. He's saying, how can a person make ilaj of this? Yeah, make dua for that person. Make abundance of dua. Ya Allah, make me maaf. How could I have thought better about that person? Ya Allah, please forgive that person. Give him the highest levels in the akhirat. So these are certain qualities which a person has to make islah and reformation of. Love of dunya is in the heart of a person. All the time he's running after dunya, running after dunya. This is a very, very big spiritual sickness within a person. Imam Ghazali, the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيَّةٍ. The love of this dunya is the root of every single guna and every single sin. Person is running after dunya, how he destroys himself. Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. You purify yourself from all of these evils and all of these sicknesses. You are really successful. How will a person get this? وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ. The cure for purification of oneself is to make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that the cure and the medication. But how will a person take the dhikr of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He will lead mashayikh, somebody who will guide him and teach him exactly that these are the spiritual sicknesses which we have got. At the present moment, we don't even know we are sick. A person who doesn't know he's sick, how will he take medication? So first we have to realize I've got all of the sicknesses within myself. Then a person will start taking medication. We go to the mashayikh, they will prescribe for us that this is the cure. This is the name of Allah Ta'ala, you will take it. This is how much you must take. This is how it will benefit you. So when a person will take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will purify himself. وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّي. Then Allah Ta'ala says, فَصَلَّى. After making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you perform salah, then you will see what enjoyment it is in this world. Ulama say the greatest amount of benefit, the greatest connection a person will have is with Allah Ta'ala when he is in sajda. But this will come when a person has purified his heart, and a person has cleansed it from all filth and dirt. He has taken the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he is performing salah, then you will see what a person's salah he has got in this world. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلْتُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. What's preventing you from this here? You have given preference to this worldly life. The enjoyments of this worldly life, the outward beauty of this worldly life, the little bit of money, that woman who is running after, and the enjoyments of this worldly life, this has completely turned a person away from making islah, reforming himself. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى. Don't be foolish. Akhirat, the life of the year after, is far, far better. It will remain forever and forever and forever, never ever come to an end. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah, he gives a beautiful example. He says, how will the world dunya akhirat remain forever and forever? He says that if you take this whole world, if you take, and you put bird seeds there, and every 1,000 years, one bird comes, and it takes one seed away. So you ask the question, will these bird seeds ever come to an end? Will the bird seeds come to an end? Yes. It will definitely come to an end. But after how many years? After millions and millions and billions of years. But that is because it is finite, eventually it will come to an end. He says, but akhirat will remain forever and forever, never come to an end. So we can't even imagine how big akhirat is, how superior akhirat is. So Allah says, don't ever give your life to the small things of this world. You prepare for the life of the akhirah. إِنَّ هَذَا لَفِي الصُّحُفِ الْأُولَى صُحْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى. This has been written in all the kitabs, the past kitabs also. Kitabs of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. One day when Imam Sahib was performing salah, three brothers came to the masjid, Ibrahim, Musa and Isa. So after the Imam Sahib read صُحُفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى, so that one brother got very, very angry. He said, you don't like me. Imam Sahib, what's your problem? He never took my name. The next namaz, Imam Sahib, so of Ibrahim, or Musa, or Isa. He also put that person's name. So anyhow, in the past kitabs also, so of Ibrahim, or Musa, Allah has mentioned this. There's nothing new. All the past ummahs also understood that their success will be in their tazkiyah, purification of their nafs, purification of their soul, purification of their eyes, of their tongue. of the heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability. This islah jalsa is supposed to have created within ourselves this fikr and concern. And how will a person make it islah? Firstly, a person must have this fikr within himself. I must purify myself. I must become a better person. And secondly, how will a person now purify himself? He needs to go to a spiritual doctor, which we call the mashayikh. Go to that person, and you normally, when a person goes to many, many doctors, he's got 10 doctors, he never ever comes right. He goes to this doctor, gets one medication from him, second doctor, third doctor, he's confused, he doesn't get anything. But you go to one doctor and you ask that person, that you know what, I've got these sicknesses, please help and assist me. The doctor will guide a person now. And very, very soon a person will find he's been cured from his sicknesses, which he thought was impossible to cure. Now a person comes out of those sicknesses. So this is the second thing. And together with that, a person must make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which the mashayikh prescribe. If a person does these few things, and he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is the muzakki haqiqi, the true one who can purify a person's heart. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. If it wasn't for the fadl and the rahmat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, none of you people's tazkiyah would have ever taken place. But Allah makes tazkiyah to whomsoever He wants to. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant myself, firstly, all of us tawfiq and ability, that we are yasir for another full day, firstly to correct our intention and to realize our purpose and object of coming here was purification of ourselves. And this has the person has to carry on till the end of his life, till the last day he leaves this world. A person has to continue purifying himself. As a person progresses in the path, he will find within himself, I've got this weakness, I've got that weakness, I've got that weakness. And if a person doesn't worry, he'll think, I'm a very, very good person. If a person feels I'm a very, very good person, it means he's spiritually very, very sick. And if a person is already seeing, I've got this weakness within myself, I have to purify myself, cure myself, become a better person, then inshallah this person is on the way to reformation. May Allah Ta'ala grant myself and all of us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah.